Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Between the years of 1944 and 1963, Dr. Colum McAndrew was just a kid, a black kid living in the Jim Crow Mississippi Delta. His story, Man of the House, a memoir, brings to light what living day and night under the threat of death looks like for a black kid in this era. At age four, his mother assigned him the responsibilities of the day and nightly chores of taking care of his siblings as she went off to work in the cotton fields, and she demanded that he kill his prized pig to feed her family. McAndrew's childhood was rife with small amounts of joy and learning, coupled with working in cotton fields, pain both physical and emotional, and being the man of the house. After leaving for Chicago in 1963, Colum went into the military, later obtained two doctorates. In his research, he is passionately focused on self-realization as a life purpose. He's currently working on his third PhD. His hobbies include scenic drives to the mountains and beaches, reading, and meditation. He holds a special interest in self-realization research, study, and writing. Dr. Colum McAndrew, author of The Man of the House, a memoir, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. McAndrew, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so very much, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity of chatting with you.
I'm looking forward to this conversation and looking back on that era and what you went through. Let's start with the inspiration to write this book. When did you come up with the idea and why to write Man of the House, a memoir?
Well, I've got one of my closest friends is a Dr. Davis Hoke, and he's a professor at Florida State University. We met in his home about 16 years ago during a Christmas party with a friend of his who invited me over for that 2005 Christmas party at their home. We met there, and Davis began asking me about where I was from. As I told him, Shelby, Mississippi. And he said, Mississippi. So we began talking then, because Davis was at the time teaching Mississippi's cultural history, and especially the Delta. So his eyes beamed when I said Mississippi, and when he told me that he was teaching Mississippi's cultural history, my eyes lit up.
Oh, yes.
And so we have had a long friendship since that moment. And little did either of us know that this was going to take place, that we would have this immediate friendship and that it would last all these years. So Davis began inviting me to come to his class as a guest lecturer at Florida State. And there, and more than, I think, four or five times he invited me to come over as a guest lecturer. And I would talk to his class about my experience of growing up in Mississippi. And it was right in line with what he had been teaching them, using John Ditmer's book, Local People, and several others. So what he had been teaching them from his books was basically a context for the life experiences that I had. And so he just, as I mentioned before, he would invite me back several times to talk to them, and just, it was a beautiful series of experiences in that way. And so we have met on numerous occasions after that, occasional meetings with other people that he knew from the university and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And eventually he started asking me, have you written your memoirs? And I said, no, of course not. But I had not thought of it. And so he would occasionally ask me at different times when we met, have you started writing your memoir yet? So I found myself increasingly thinking about it. And on one occasion, he asked if I had done anything with that memoir, and I told him that I had written a small chapter or something. He said, let me see it. Send it to me. So I emailed it to him, and he continued to ask me different questions about parts of the story that I had not gotten to, and it ended up as this book.
Well, this book is so fascinating, Man of the House, a Memoir by Dr. Colm McAndrew. I'm going to spell that. Colm is C-O-L-M, and McAndrew is M-C-A-I-N-D-R-I-U. I'll give you all of that as we go through the program. The book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. All of this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I understand he was basically the motivation to write this one. There's a second volume coming out as well. What is the theme of the second volume?
The name of this second volume is Going North. And that's going to where this the first volume ends with my decision to leave Mississippi and move to Chicago to get a better job, to get away from the cotton fields and to find a different way of living. So the second volume is picking up where the first one left off, and it begins with a portrait of the leaving of Mississippi and merging into the new culture of the North. Chicago, for people in the area and time period in which I grew up, Chicago was a big idea. It was the go-to place when you got enough money to pay for a Greyhound bus ticket.
Yes.
Yeah, and so people were. It's the sort of thing they talked about, mentioned occasionally in cotton fields. Someday I'm going to get enough money to get that ticket and leave this place. So it was also the backdrop to that was the whole idea of journeying north to live a better life or to find a better life, create a better life. And so I followed in that tradition of leaving the cotton fields after graduation from high school, going north, where at the time I had an uncle living there. It was my mother's brother, and he had invited me to come there. And it was something I thought about quite a lot, finishing up the last year of high school and graduating. So immediately after graduation, I got a job painting a lady's house. And after the first week, I think it was, she paid me $64.18. The Greyhound bus ticket was about $20.
Wow.
So I immediately took that money, ran home and bagged up my clothes and back to town because the bus was leaving that day at 2 p.m. So I made it back in time, got the bus, left for Chicago and never looked back.
That's got to be a fascinating story, going through this culture shock. There were factories, not cotton fields. You had paved roads. This has to be a remarkable story that will be in the second volume. We're talking about the first volume that's now available today, Man of the House, a Memoir by our guest, Dr. Colm McAndrew. All the information on our website. And just briefly, I understand what a third volume is going to happen as well. What will be the focus of that?
The focus of the third volume will focus on academics, how I ventured into college and university life and what that did to transform my whole life.
You know, it's interesting, and we'll talk in a second. Man of the House is such a fascinating read. What you had to go through, starting at age four, literally the man of the house, what you had to do, and the role that education became secondary to working in the cotton fields, all of that contained in the first volume here. What is the relationship, Doctor, between service in the military and academia? You've been active in both, now working on your third doctorate. What is the relationship between the two?
Oh, between the cotton fields and academia. Once I got to Chicago, I knew from high school, one of my best teachers in high school had taken me to what was called a New Farmers of America Association meeting, and he wanted me to run for one of the offices. And they had two vacancies. One was president and the other was vice president. So during this election meeting, someone had been chosen as president. And he nudged me and said, "Oh, well, aren't you going to run for vice president?" Well, I had no experience with it, and so I wasn't going to tell him no. So I said yes and then announced my candidacy, and I was asked to come to the podium and make a few comments. So I did. And there was no one else running for the office, so I was elected by default. And so I took that on my way back home from Alcorn College. He said, "Well, I guess now that you're going to be graduating from high school soon, you're probably going to become a doctor, aren't you?" And I had never heard of such a thing, other than going to see a medical doctor if I need one.
Yes.
Yes, and so I never forgot that ride back, that whole trip from Shelby to Alcorn College with him. And the two things that he encouraged me to do. So when I got to Chicago, I had college or universities on something I would do if I got a chance to, but I did not know anything about them. But once I got there, I got a very temporary job. And on my way to work one day, I saw a sign on the side of the street that said, "Join the Air Force and get an education." So immediately I jumped off the bus and ran to the recruiter's office. That took me into the Air Force. But once I got into the recruiter's office, I asked him, "Is it true that I can get an education if I join the Air Force?" And he said, yes, of course. So I took it at his word, and I enlisted. I discovered once I got into the Air Force that there was something known as the GI Bill that would pay for 4 years of education.
Yes.
So I took that, and I spent about 6.5 years in the Air Force, and then I asked for an early discharge and took that honorable discharge and my the offer for that GI Bill thing to go to college with.
Yes.
Once I got in there, I found that this was actually a university, and I met two professors who were the best support people that I could have ever dreamed of getting. And they got together, they guided me through both the bachelor's and the master's degree within 4 years. So I used the 4-year GI Bill to get those two degrees, and with their encouragement, I went from there to doctoral programs.
And this is just amazing, having two doctorates and working on a third. Our guest is Dr. Colum McAndrew. He's the author of the book, Man of the House, A Memoir. This is available now. Be checking and finding out when other books in this series will be coming out. Going back to that time in growing up, talk a little bit about that. Set the stage. I mean, this was back during the 1944 through 63 time period, the Jim Crow Mississippi Delta. One of the stories you talk about is Emmett Till, who was 14. I think you were 11 at the time. Talk about that impact, the proximity to that, to where you were, your reaction to that, your exposure to that, your reaction, and what it's done for you, to you, for the rest of your life.
Yes. If I can pivot back just a little earlier. On my way, my mother was taking me with her to buy groceries one evening, a day, and there was a white lady and a daughter coming toward us, and she said, "Look on the ground. Don't look at the girl." Well, that was like telling me not to, that there's some cookies on the table, but don't eat them.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I struggled not to look at her, but I did. I took a peek, and she beat me pretty well when we got back home and told me about some black man who had been lynched by three white guys. Now, eventually, I learned that incident never happened, but she was trying to scare the bejesus out of me about to keep me alive. So when that was going from the Emmett Till, when Emmett Till was abducted and lynched, I was 11. His capture and murder took place about 15 to 20 miles away from our home. And there was Parchman's Prison nearby. So she had always feared that someone would break out of Parchman's Prison and that police would come through with dogs to try and find this person, and feared that they would break into our home to see if we were hiding the person. So when it was a fear-oriented environment, somehow we just lived that way. And so when Emmett Till was murdered, somehow she got a copy of a magazine. I do not know if it was a Look or Jet magazine, which one it was, but she got a picture of him in a casket in a church in Chicago. And she forced me to look at that image every morning for months, and sometimes in the afternoon, because she wanted me to see what was waiting for me if I did something similar to what he did.
Wow.
And so I grew up, after that, the rest of my youth was the fear of seeing or dreaming or thinking about a white girl. And that was much more something that I was trained into more so than to work, as a way of surviving.
It's
but
just,
then even, I'm sorry.
You finished that thought. We've got a few minutes left, but this is so powerful, what you went through and trying to imagine what it was like for you growing up in that era. A black kid living in the Jim Crow Mississippi Delta. The book is Man of the House, a memoir. Finish talking about Emmett Till and that fear that your mother put in you.
It shaped my life. It shaped the way that I lived every day.
Yes.
I grew to smell death in the air. I just knew that one day it was going to happen. Somebody would say that I did it, whether I did that or not. And this came out of the Emmett Till murder, was that there was an uncertainty about whether or not he actually said something to the lady in that store and money, or if he looked at her in a way that would be considered inappropriate. Did he touch her or something? But there was all this uncertainty about what took place in the store, and she walked out, or he walked out of the store, and rumor was that she followed him to her car and got a gun, and he ran with his cousins, ran away. And so my fear growing up was that I would meet another white girl like I did when I was 4, or a white lady, and that rumor would spread, and then I would be murdered because somebody would suggest that I said something or did something. So it was all the speculation, and people, adults, creating their own fictions about what would get some black male killed.
Yes, and we've got a couple minutes left here. I'm just going to ask you, do you ever get over that? You're telling the story like it happened a couple of days ago. Do you ever get over that?
In my heart of hearts, no.
Yeah.
No. I would like to think so, and I tend to go about my daily life as if though it never happened. I think that's the way I live. But I'm not really sure how. Now, I never know how other people see me.
Yes, and you can tell all of that voice. So many stories. The book is appropriately called Man of the House. At 4 years old, I mentioned taking over and watching the siblings, the time he spent working to help help feed the family, help clothe the family. It's such a remarkable story, what he went through as a black youngster in this era, the Jim Crow Mississippi Delta. Doctor, boy, time went by so quickly. We're out of time. Hopefully we can do this again. So much in this book, and looking forward to talking about the other two volumes in this series as well. Thank you for being with us on the program. A fascinating story, remarkable success when you made that trek out of Chicago, got on the bus and went north and found success in academia, success in the military, and now a successful writer. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to do this.
It has been a pleasure. Dr. Colm McAndrew, and that's C-O-L-M. McAndrew is M-C-A-I-N-D-R-I-U. The book is Man of the House, a memoir. You'll find it at all of the usual places, kingpagespress.com. The author is marketing consultant, arranged our conversation today. Book at Amazon, all the usual places, and, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.